Hello, 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 hello. Hey guys, this is Michael Davis, and with this second podcast of the Iron Jaw, I know we're supposed to do the conference championship games for the AFC and NFC of the National Football League. First of all, I'd like to thank you for listening live, or the ones who will watch it later. Thank you for listening. But first, I want to speak on something that I said yesterday. When I was going through the Clay Matthews with Missouri player, and, you know, I said LeBron James can't tie up Hakeem Olajuwon's shoes. In those statements, you shouldn't really say. I thought this was funny. Headline on Facebook said, former NBA player Hakeem Olajuwon says Michael Jordan is a far superior player to LeBron James. Maybe right for right now, but I just thought that was funny. Okay. First of all, I would love to start on the Seattle and Green Bay game. Okay. This game starts at 3:05 Eastern time this Sunday, and Seattle are 7.5-point favorites right now. These teams met up earlier in the season. Seattle took it 36-16 at CenturyLink Field. That was the season opener. So, a lot has changed from these teams. You could say that Seattle is a much better team. Green Bay's rushing defense has improved little by little, but it's worth it. Key stats I would love to point out was last week against Dallas, the Packers, what they did. Lacy had 19 carries and 101 rushing yards last week. That's 5.3 average yards per carry. If A. Lacy can get fed the ball, that's a key recipe to help take down Seattle in Seattle. Take the noise out of it. Score early. Run the ball. You know, passes, of course. Also talking about it, Seattle's passing defense actually ranks first in the National Football League. There's a lot of talk about New England's passing defense. I'll get into that a little bit later on. But Seattle's is the best around. Was last year, is this year. And Green Bay passing yards, they're still one of the best with Aaron Rodgers. Aaron Rodgers last week against Dallas pushed up 68% passer completion percentage, 316 passing yards, 3 touchdowns, and against the defense who was turning the ball over a lot this past month. You know, no interceptions for Aaron Rodgers. You know, Aaron Rodgers avoided Richard Sherman last year. I mean, at the beginning of the season. You know, he said he's not going to do it this week. I keep saying year. Does anybody hear me doing that? Okay. You know, week one against Seattle, Aaron Rodgers had 69% completion percentage, 189 yards, touchdown, interception. You know, if he takes care of the ball, Green Bay has it shot. But it's about the other side of the ball, I believe. Seattle's passing yards rank isn't that good, 27th in the league, while Green Bay's passing defense was actually ranked 10th. Only allowing 226 yards passing per game. That opened my eyes when I researched it. You know, Wilson had 67% completion percentage. Week one, 109 yards, 2 touchdowns. You know, and last week, He had 68% completion percentage, 268 yards, and 3 touchdowns. So there's no doubt that Russell Wilson has improved since week one. He's still young. He's just finishing up his third year. He's already won a Super Bowl. That doesn't speak much, but to get there again, I think really speaks volumes of how good Russell Wilson is and how great he manages the game, how intelligent he is. If Wilson can beat Green Bay, that's going to be big. It's going to come down to Marshawn Lynch and running the ball, two good passing attacks. Green Bay held their own against Murray last week. Murray broke out for a few big games, but nothing really to defeat Green Bay. Newton versus Seattle last week. He did okay. 63% completion percentage, 246 yards, couple touchdowns, couple picks. Cam is dynamic, so for Seattle to still hold their ground against Carolina was, you know, pretty good something. To pick them off twice, you know, Green Bay's defense really, I didn't see them do well against the Cowboys last week. I'm sorry, Caleb, I keep mentioning them. Romo completed nearly 80% of his passes, a couple touchdowns, 143.6 passer rating. You know, you can't have those numbers when you're facing Russell Wilson, or you will lose 10 out of 10 times. As I mentioned earlier, Seattle won by 20 points on Green Bay to only 16 points. They're meeting earlier in this season in week one. I don't think it's going to be that much this time around, but I do think that Seattle wins by a couple possessions. Score, spoiler alert, 29-20, Seattle defeats Green Bay and heads to their second Super Bowl in consecutive years. The X factor is going to be Cam Chancellor and Earl Thomas. 14 solo tackles between those two guys. You know, 3 pass deflections against Carolina. You know, Cam Chancellor playing jackrabbit. I said that yesterday. He opened my eyes yesterday. He really did. And it's also going to come down to the passing attack, the rushing attack for the Seattle Seahawks between Michael Bennett, Cliff Averill, Bruce Irvin. I remember watching Michael Bennett down in Tampa Bay, and that's when I really fell in love with him or kind of hated him. He was hitting quarterbacks pretty hard. And Cliff Averill gets to the quarterback. These 3 guys combined for 5 quarterback hits against Carolina last week. It amazes me. You know, if they get Aaron Rodgers with that bad calf, he's not 100%. I don't care what his work schedule's been. He is not 100%. He's not going to play 100%. He didn't even play 100% last week. Still losing sacks, but he's going to get hit and he's going to keep getting up. He's a warrior. It's going to disrupt him. It really will. Next, we're going to talk about the Patriots and Colts. The Colts go to Foxborough at 6:40 p.m. Eastern Time this Sunday. They will know at halftime who they are facing in the Super Bowl. If Chuck Pagano or Bill Belichick decides to tell the team then. Patriots are favored by 7 points in this game, Vegas lines. And it really shocks me that New England is favored by so little right now. because earlier this season, New England beat the Colts 42-20 in Week 11. That was after we're heading on to Cincinnati. The Patriots and the Colts, I just think, are two completely different teams, okay? Good quarterbacks. Colts have a more receiver depth than the New England Patriots do. Patriots still have Edelman, Amendola, Gronkowski, Brent LaFell. Sorry, Panthers fans. I know you're listening. Colts have a worse defense. The Patriots have a much better defense than Indianapolis does with Revis, Browner, Patrick Chung. He's revived his career since coming back to the Patriots. Vince Wilfork's going to be interesting to watch, but I want you to watch out for Akeem Ayers. I didn't put him on my X-Factors, but Akeem Ayers could set the tone on defense and special teams for the Patriots. When I look at New England offensively, okay, you know, they have Gronk, caught 7 balls for 108 yards and a touchdown last week against Baltimore. I look at Amendola, 5 catches, 81 yards, couple touchdowns. I look at Edelman, 8 catches, 34 yards, 3 punt returns for 45 yards, and that 51-yard touchdown pass, Caleb. You know, but then I look at the rushing attack. You know, because the Patriots are going against Vontae Davis. They are going against Vontae Davis, very underrated cornerback. Can't catch a ball, that's why he's playing defense. But New England rushed the ball 13 times last week. Okay? Guess how many yards they had on 13 carries? They had 14. You heard those crickets. 14 rushing yards is not going to win you many playoff games. And that's a testament to how bad and poor I thought Baltimore played. Baffles me. They're going to have to find this rushing attack if they want to beat the Colts, which I don't think they find the rushing attack. It's going to come down to Brady working his magic, completed 63% of his passes last week, 257 yards. Couple touchdowns, couple picks against the Colts in Week 11. This defense is going to drop picks. It is amazing how many interceptions the Colts drop. Okay, let me give to you Peyton's stats last week against the Colts. 26 of 46. That's 20 incompletions. 211 yards. And a touchdown, Peyton Manning. And Vontae Davis probably dropped about 5 interceptions last week. You can't do that. You can't do that this week. Okay, you're going to have to pick off the ball and keep Tom Brady off the field. Going to be something to watch. They don't have a rushing attack, but they do have Andrew Luck. And a lot of people say it's too early to put him in the top 5. I agree. He's number 6. Indianapolis ranks first in the league for passing yards per game, 305. New England defense. Passing defense ranks middle of the pack this season. You know, allowing 239 passing yards. Luck versus New England this past year, Week 11. 58.9% completion percentage, 303 yards, two touchdowns, and interceptions. So we could see about 300 yards for Andrew Luck. I think that's reasonable. Last week he completed 62% of his passes against Denver, against a much better passing defense, I believe. Okay, you have Tlaib, you have Ward. I know they're not there quite yet. Harris, you know, you have Ware and Miller, rusher the passer. I think if he put up 265 yards, a couple touchdowns, two interceptions last week against Denver, he can definitely put up 300 yards, you know, under 60% completion percentage, three touchdowns, probably a pick, not two, if he's lucky. So, the Colts being humiliated by the Patriots by 22 points earlier this year, what's going to be the end result this year, this time around? Let's just say Julian Edelman's going to be an X factor. And I give this first because of the score, okay? Julian Edelman's going to be an X factor, okay? I'm predicting he receives three of three. All of Brady's touchdown passes are to Julian Edelman this week. Not Amendola, not Gronk. I know that's a bold prediction, but that's just how I feel. The Patriots defend home field, go to the Super Bowl, and win 38-27. 38-27, beating the Colts. You know you're going to see two great quarterbacks go after it. And this only can make the Colts better. They go out this free agency offseason. They get defensive players. They get an offensive line. I would draft offensive line if I were the Colts. And would contend for a Super Bowl next year. I think the Colts make the Super Bowl next year. First of all, we have about 11 minutes remaining on the stream. So if you'd like to call in, the number is 347-989-0920. You can chat with me for a couple minutes. Caleb just sent me a Facebook message saying, Amendola. Amendola. He's going to catch a couple balls this week. I don't think he gets in the end zone, like I said. Edelman's going to. So I was asked about Dallas drafting a cornerback. So I am going to give top five prospects, 1 through 5, and we'll see how it goes, okay? Number one, Marcus Mariota. Quarterback for Oregon, you know, good arm. Oh my goodness. His decision making is by far one of the best I have ever seen. Thrives in the Oregon offense. But his decision making is by far one of the best I've seen since Andrew Luck. I think that's fair. I think Jameis Winston. Is that is right there yet. I don't think his decision making on the field or off the field is nearly as good as Mariota's. So people ranking Winston over Mariota is silly. I don't feel Mariota goes number one Tampa Bay because of Lovie Smith being defensive minded. He'll probably go for another one of my top five prospects, Leonard Williams out of Southern Cal. Haven't had a chance to study him as much yet, but, you know, it's there. He's going to be a top five prospect, potentially number one. I believe he's number one. You know, I don't think Randy Gregory, you know, I've heard his name come up, number one. I have watched highlights of him. I don't see it. I think the rest of the defense makes plays for him. Don't see anything special in him, but I believe he goes to Washington. And Jameis Winston, Jets quarterback, he'll go to the Jets number six. Through an outrageous number of picks this season. I believe 17 coming into the playoff. Just ridiculous. And I'll be honest, 7.5 minutes remain. I have not much to talk about. So here's what we're going to do. Here's what we're going to do. I am going to let you know that Cardale Jones has opted to not go into the NFL draft and will stay at Ohio State. I didn't have the privilege of watching Ohio State much this year. You know, I watched the game against Alabama. I have yet to watch the national championship game, believe it or not. I think it's a really good decision to stay. I think it creates a lot of chaos between Braxton Miller and JT Barrett. If they go, I believe Braxton Miller's going to Duke. Braxton Miller to Duke. I have no clue where JT Barrett could go. I wouldn't be surprised if JT Barrett decides to go to Florida or Florida State, being all honest with you. Spagnuolo has agreed to become the New York Giants defensive coordinator. I don't see the excellence or the significance in Steve Spagnuolo. I know he failed as the St. Louis Rams head coach. I don't see his magic. I really don't. So I don't think he fixes the Giants defense, which I got to watch plenty this year. I believe if their defense gets it together, they'll probably be in contention for the NFC East next year. I still think Dallas is pretty good. Defense worries me. I believe that the Eagles won't be there. Defense worries me more there. And the Redskins, their defense worries me the most. And they do not have an offense. No clue who their quarterback's going to be. You have receivers, you don't know how to use them. They just let Jim Haslett walk. Granted, they just picked up Bill Callahan as their offensive line coach and a new GM. I'm doing a podcast right now. And that was my dad. Yeah. The pros and cons of going live. Oh. I know we were on football and NFL, and since we're getting no callers, worried if any of you are actually watching live, 3 minutes left. I would love to talk about Austin Rivers traded to the Los Angeles Clippers in the National Basketball Association. Austin Rivers is the son of the Clippers head coach, Doc Rivers. Okay, I actually thought Rivers would be a good fit going to Boston when he was originally leaving Duke. Thought he left too early, could have used another year or two. We got to do something about these guys leaving college early. That's why we're seeing so much talent at Duke the past 2 years fail. If anyone can revive his career at this point, it is his father, Doc Rivers. I am most interested in seeing how this affects the team. Will a legendary coach in Doc Rivers, you know, favor his son, you know, see his son's potential, see his son's talent, see what he can bring to the team, and he'd be like, oh yeah, move aside, Jamal Crawford, my son's here to show you. It's going to be interesting. I think I'm going to watch a lot more Clippers games. I would also, before we go, got 90 seconds left. Been spewing out just about anything the last five. Would love to say thanks for watching. I have gotten a lot of support, a lot of suggestions, a lot of appreciation. And, you know, I appreciate it. I love you guys, and I love doing what I do, you know, just talking sports. I absolutely love it. I want to be a sports journalist when I grow up. Either you see me on ESPN or you see me writing for DallasCowboys.com or something like that. I really appreciate everything you guys are doing to support me. And I love debating with you. You may not agree with my opinions, but you're listening, you're talking to me on Facebook, you're messaging me, or talking to me on Ask. I've gotten like 15 sports questions on Ask the past 24 hours, and those are my favorite ones. So thank you. I appreciate it, and thanks for listening. Peace, everybody.